Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's our time to have the window on the world, and we're going about the world and the ocean today, so stay tuned as we have day two of The Mysterious Giants. Thanks for being back with us today as we're talking about Seattle's Mysterious Giants. And we have Nathaniel back with us today as a panelist. Nathaniel, what are the Mysterious Giants?
Well, these Mysterious Giants that we're talking about today and yesterday as well are the fin whales that can be found off of Seattle, and also, as you mentioned yesterday, Doris, in many different parts of the ocean as well.
Right. And we're glad that we can have Catherine with us, our editor here, to be with us today. As you were editing this article, Catherine, did you find that was quite fascinating and interesting?
Yes, I did. I've always really loved learning about creatures of the sea. And what I love about this story is that these creatures are relatively unknown. There's not a whole lot that's known about them, and I think that's so cool. There's more left to discover and learn about them. So
that's true. Mm-hmm. When we think about large creatures or animals, I think of things like elephants and giraffes and maybe even tigers and lions.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many big things even in the ocean. Isn't that true?
That is true. And that's one of the things that kind of scares me a little bit about the ocean, is that sometimes you don't know what exactly is down there. And these whales, I mean, they're massive. It said that they were the second largest animal or creature in the entire world. I mean, massive. They're bigger than an elephant, Doris.
They are very big, and I was just telling them yesterday that I went swimming with some of these big killer whales down in Australia on the coast. I was scuba diving with them, and they are so big, and you look at them, and you think, I don't want to get too close, because if I get too close, then, you know, they might just flicker their tail or something like that. But if you look at the picture that we have on page 37 mm-hmm. over here, do you see that little tiny... you see the whale over there, and you see that little thing that says diver up there on the top?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the size that you are when you're swimming with them.
Really,
and I was one of those little divers going around them. That was kind of fun. But you want to get too close to them, just in case they've happened to flicker their little tail, and you just
well,
be
that,
the
or if they just open their mouth wrong,
yeah,
I mean, you
true.
Could get sucked. Oh.
Yeah, I try to stay on the side of them, not get by their mouth. But they're not really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things like, you know, these great big, huge, you know, sea turtles and things, and they look kind of scary. But in the water, they kind of like they're floating, and you don't feel that they're so dangerous when you're in the water with them.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of seem like they're your friends going around with you. And they look at you, and you know, you kind of think, well, this is fun. So you got to do that, Katie.
Yes, I would love to. I've been snorkeling one time before, and we saw turtles, but I've never been near whales or anything like that. So someday.
Did the turtles look at you? And
they did look at me. We had a moment, and I thought, wow, they're really pretty.
Funny? It's really nice that they kind of like they're looking at us and saying, what is this?
I know. What's happening? But they don't get too excited about it. So they swim
around.
And
I don't think the whales do either. In fact, people often worry about the sharks a lot. And the sharks actually have a big job to do. You know, they are the garbage collectors of the ocean. And without sharks, the ocean would be so filthy that we couldn't stand it. They get rid of all the trash. They're the trash collectors. And if they see something that looks like you're swimming around, kicking your legs fast, then they probably think you're something that's dying and they need to help you get rid of you. See, that's the way they think of you. But they don't know what they always tell you. If you're scuba diving, if you see a shark, just hit him on the nose and he'll run away. And I've never had to do that, thank goodness. But
I don't know if I'd want to let a shark get so close to me that I could hit it in the nose.
It's good
but
to
if
know.
It happened, it was that way. Just be sure to turn around and hit it. Don't try to run away from it because you can't go fast enough.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But the creatures in the ocean are mysterious, but they're really, some of them are really quite friendly too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know which ones.
Dolphins are probably very friendly.
Oh, dolphins
I've been swimming with dolphins once, and
right.
That was
dolphins.
An incredible
dolphins.
Experience. Yeah. And we went dolphin watching recently. That's right, studio
in the East
classroom.
Coast, that's
yeah.
right, the Hualien area.
Yeah, that was
so
amazing.
That's kind of fun. We need to find out more about them. We certainly should not kill them all off because that does something to the balance that the ocean needs. Like we say, the sharks clean the ocean and the whales do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting things about the whales we found out was that they go north when the winter comes instead of south.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how do they keep warm?
Well, they have that blubber, that layer of blubber under their skin that keeps them warm, even in the coldest parts of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard things before about the whales and that they sing songs or they have a noise, whatever it is. But we're finding out that some of the scientists in the Seattle area said they were a big pain. Why did they say that?
Well, they were trying to research about the sound of earthquakes with their machinery, but they were picking up on all these sounds that the whales were making, so they were kind of having trouble finding the actual information they needed.
So they said, Moffin, these whales making all this noise. I'm trying to hear the earthquakes. But we're finding out that the whales did have a lot of interesting things about them, so we're going to talk about that. We're talking about the fin whales. What are the largest whales we talked about yesterday?
The largest whales and the biggest animals in all the world are blue whales.
Okay, and the second are these, right?
Second are these fin whales, and I really did not know much of anything about fin whales before reading this article.
I know, people really don't. We hear about the killer whales because they're kind of nice looking with the black and white spots and kind of, but they're smaller compared to this. They're only about, 40 tons or something.
Oh, yeah, they're much
they're
smaller.
They're significantly smaller than blue whales or fin whales. So.
But they seem big enough to me, too.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
But let's find out about what we're going to do today.
Today we're starting on page 37, continuing this lesson that we started yesterday. So let's go ahead and read from, you see the 25th on that page. Let's go ahead and start reading there.
Usually, fin whales stick to deep water offshore, which is one of the reasons they haven't been studied much, Kalambakadis said. Tagging and tracking is expensive, and so are ship-based expeditions to observe and follow whales. Fixed arrays of seismic instruments offer a promising alternative. The facts. Reaching up to 85 feet in length and weighing in at up to 80 tons, fin whales earned the nickname Greyhounds of the Sea because of their sleek build and explosive speed. They also produce some of the loudest noises in the animal kingdom. The whales let loose with their short basso profundo blasts, roughly every 25 seconds, often continuing for a day or more. They pause only to breathe. The pattern is so regular that scientists who first recorded the song thought it was coming from some man-made device. The whales' calls can travel thousands of miles through water. If unleashed on land, the average decibel level would be deafening to a human. But the sound is so deep, deeper than thunder or the biggest bass drum, that only the sharpest human ears could detect it.
So the reason that we can't find out more about them, we haven't until now, is that they stick to or they stay in the deep water offshore. That's good, because if they're in the deep water, they won't get hit by the ships. But they do have to come up for air. They can only stay down, 15 minutes to 40 minutes? I can only stay down about 2 minutes.
I don't even think I have the lung capacity to stay down that long.
But isn't that something, though? They can stay down that long. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I think that they just swim around, and they come up whenever they need air. And
they come up, whoosh, and then when they go down, you see pictures like this tail we have here. There's a lot of people have taken pictures of just that whale's tail as it goes down. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it?
It is, but I think everyone's always waiting to get that picture of the whales jumping and leaping in the air. That's the one everyone waits
right.
for. I love it. I love that picture.
There's some beautiful pictures like that. But anyway, they usually stay in the deep water, which is a lot safer for them. But that's one reason they haven't been studied very much. So we find that these people with these long names have been studying them, tracking and tagging them. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also expensive to go out and try to see them in the ships and follow them because mm-hmm. they go very fast and you can't always find them. So it costs a lot of money.
Right. So tagging and tracking would just be placing something on the whale so they can follow it, and then the tracking is the following. So that's expensive, and it is, like you said, difficult to follow them in ships as well.
So what have they done now that would be an alternative, would be a different way of doing it instead of this regular way?
Well, what they have done is they have put out fixed arrays of seismic instruments. So if these things are fixed, it means that they stay in one spot. The instruments are under the water, and they just are planted, and so those don't move. And an array of something just means a big group of things that are alike in some way.
So we've used this word, like seismic, we've said mm-hmm. seismometers and everything. Let's review a little bit this word seismic.
Right. Now, remember, when you hear that word seismic or seismo in a word, it's going to be about the Earth's plates and studying the Earth's plates, which are very important for knowing about earthquakes.
And what kind of machine measures them? Seismometers,
seismometer,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, seismometers are what the instruments are called.
Right.
And this says they offer a promising alternative. If something is promising, it's probably going to turn out well, or it's going to give you the effect that you want, and it's an alternative. It's a different way of studying these whales than the things that we already mentioned.
So mm-hmm. instead of just studying the Earth plates, we can also study the whales. We can use the same kind of equipment,
right? Mm-hmm.
Really. That's all it's saying right there. And then there's some facts about them. And as you mentioned before, Nathaniel, I think a lot of people have never thought much about whales. A whale is a whale, right?
Right.
In fact, when we have a whole lot of fun, sometimes we say, I had a whale of a fun last night, you know, or a whale of an opportunity. It means so big.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that expression?
Only a few times. It's not super common language.
But you can understand why a whale of activity means
so much. Say I had a whale of a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It means so much, so big, mm-hmm. you know, because they're so big. And the facts are that they can weigh up to 80 tons. Can you imagine? No wonder it takes them 11 months to get a baby ready to be born. I mean, it has to be a pretty big baby.
Oh, I know. I wonder how much a baby weighs when they're born. Mm, that would be interesting to find out. Yeah.
Right. It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, it says that they earned this nickname, or they have kind of a nickname. I've never heard of that nickname for them, Greyhounds of the Sea.
Right, Greyhounds of the Sea. Now, a greyhound is a kind of dog, actually. These are the kind of dog that you usually hear about racing, mm-hmm. very fast kind of dog, very kind of thin-looking kind of dog. And they are called the Greyhounds of the Sea because of their sleek build and explosive speed.
Mm-hmm. They can go so fast. They can go as fast as some of the ships on the sea.
Yeah, that's right. I was reading that they can pass up the speed of some ocean steamships. So they can catch up and swim so fast. Their build and the way that they describe these animals makes me think of a bullet just like shooting through the water.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, even when they go through the water that quickly, they find that these ships, they can't catch them. So they use a lot of electronic ways to kill them by shooting electronic things at them, which is too bad, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Because
mm-hmm.
they go so fast. They usually could escape that, but they have a very good speed here. And they're sleek build and fast speed.
Mm-hmm. I think that, sorry to interrupt you, I think that their speed is also one of the reasons that they aren't usually preyed upon. I was reading that the killer whale is their only predator, but it's difficult for the killer whale to catch the fin whale because the fin whales have these giant bursts of speed that allows them to get away.
Get away.
Mm-hmm. So instead of staying and trying to fight with any predator, they just shoot off into the blue unknown.
Well, that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
And then they have some of the loudest noises in the whole animal kingdom. Now, we always think about the lion. Even if you go to the movies, they have this great big lion making this big, you know, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer has big lion stuff. It's supposed to be the king of the jungle, but the lion is just a baby compared
to him. They haven't met the king of the ocean, apparently.
The king of the ocean.
Yeah.
And the sound is so loud. Mm-hmm. What about the sound?
Well, it says the whales let loose this sound with their short basso profundo blasts roughly every 25 seconds. So they make this very deep sound. A basso profundo is actually it's a word that we can use for the deepest kind of singing or speaking voice for humans, but they use it for the whale's sound here. And they make this very low sound about every 25 seconds. That's right, when they're in the ocean.
And it's just so loud that they can hear it for miles and miles and miles. Now, sound doesn't go that easily through the water. So it'd have to be really powerful to go through the water like that. And that's what the sound is, what they recorded. Can you hear the sound? And everybody, all the other whales can hear it. So I guess they're announcing where they are or where they're going. Or maybe they say, better get out of here.
Yeah.
Somebody after us. Who knows what they're saying? Wouldn't it be nice to know what they're saying?
I would. I would like to know maybe what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right. And who makes the sound. But it's a very different pattern, and it'll go on and on. For how long?
Well, a day or more.
Boom. They keep doing it, you know.
Every 25 seconds for over a day. I can't imagine doing something like that.
No wonder it bothered those scientists that were trying to hear the earthquakes.
Well, one thing I was reading about this is that they make these sounds and they create a pattern. It's like they make a song and it's a certain pattern that will last for like an hour or so or 45 minutes or something. So they may sing all day, but they have certain patterns for every part of the day. It's really interesting. It sounds beautiful.
And I read that they don't all do that. So I don't know if it's a male or the female that does it. And they haven't, you know, told us all that on the research.
Well, that's why these fin whales are so interesting, because they know certain things about it, but they don't know everything. They know some of the whales make noise, some of them don't, but they don't know why this happens.
Right. Just think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it seems like, you know, it's like a man-made device, like you've got some machine doing, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they can go so far. This is why when you catch these animals and put them in some kind of a big pond for everybody to see, they don't like it. Because they're used to not just going just a few miles. They go thousands of miles through the water.
Yeah, their calls can – and you imagine just the sound of their call traveling that far through the water, thousands of miles.
Right.
And it says if unleashed on land, the average decibel level of these sounds would be deafening to a human. I could hardly believe that when I first read it.
Well, actually, that's a really interesting point. I read that under the water, the decibel level – or the unit, or how loud it is 190 decibels under the water. But if you could hear this noise in the air, it's 130 decibels, which is the level of a jet. 130 is the sound of a...
Like a jet plane.
Like a giant jet plane, yeah. So, I mean, when you think about that, these whales make the noise of a jet. That's just unreal. That is so loud.
That's really... hard to believe, isn't it? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we're finding out more that we didn't know about them, and we don't know why the sound has to go so far in the water, but, you know, we can't even, you know, imagine this at all.
Mm-mm.
So let's find out more. That's some of the facts, but let's analyze, because they had a lot of data. They listened into this for the earthquakes, and they got the information. Let's find out what they found out by analyzing or looking that over.
Analyzing the data. In order to listen to the sounds in the lab, Weirathmuller and her colleagues have to speed up the recordings. That low-frequency rumbling quality is why the calls of fin and blue whales register on underwater seismometers, which are tuned to detect the rumblings of the earth. Scientists have used the instruments to track whales before, but never in such large numbers or over such an extended period of time as in the UW studies. Doctoral student Dax Soule analyzed a year's worth of data, more than 300,000 whale calls recorded by 8 seismometers on the ocean bottom off the coast of Vancouver Island. Wilcock and his colleagues installed the instruments beginning in 2003 to record geologic activity at the Juan de Fuca Ridge.
Well, Well, they have to speed up the recordings even to listen to the sounds.
Right. These sounds are so low, I think, is why they're doing this, that they have to speed them up so that they can just hear them to study them.
Hmm. So they have the fin and the blue whales both make this kind of sound, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's probably pretty common for underwater animals to make such a low noise. That's how they communicate.
Right. And so these little things that we talked about, the seismometers, they are supposed to be detecting the rumblings of the earth. They're supposed to be finding out if there's an earthquake. And so they use these same instruments.
Mm-hmm. And these instruments are tuned to detect the rumblings of the earth. When we say tuned to, they are settings, or they are set to register these sounds. But it also says scientists have used the instruments to track whales before, but never in such large numbers or over such an extended period of time as in the university studies.
Well, that's a good place there to do, the University of Washington, because there are so many whales around there and going on up to Alaska and up the coast, so it's a good way to do it. But remember, they had all this data before, but they couldn't tell the difference between the earthquake sounds and the whales. So what did they have to do so they could tell the difference?
Well, one thing that they had to do was they had to make their own program that could tell the difference. And then, of course, they still had all this extra information that they're really just throwing away, all these sounds from the whales. But at least they did have that computer program to tell the difference between the earthquakes and the whales.
Well, this doctoral student that was Dax Soule, who was analyzing this, can you imagine this? Tell us about him.
Well, it says that he analyzed a year's worth of data, and it was more than 300,000 whale calls recorded by the seismometers on the ocean bottom off the coast of Vancouver Island. So he had to go through a ton of different calls to try to find a pattern within their noise.
If he ever wants job interviews, what have you done? Well, I've analyzed 300,000 whale calls. Maybe get a job at the telephone company. Who knows?
Well, I mean,
or the computer company.
I
don't know anybody do that. Can you imagine doing that?
No. I think I would get lost in all the noise. I mean, I don't even know how he would begin. Yeah.
So he must have been a very diligent student. But what they did at these people, they installed different instruments beginning in the year 2003 to record this geologic activity, which is for the earthquakes. And you know, the Straits of Juan de Fuca, that's the water, the salt water that comes in from the ocean that goes down to Seattle and it goes up to Vancouver, so in Vancouver Island. So that's the area we're talking about. And people do often see things like this picture we have here of the whales tail, and they take a lot of pictures with the sunset, and there are quite a few whales around still, but not many like there used to be.
Can you still go whale watching out there?
Oh yeah, they still have whale watching.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go up to Orcas Island. We've had some lessons on that, and have whale watching. But there's killer whales, and there's I don't know how many fin whales you see.
Yeah.
Probably never do see the blue ones. Maybe you have to go to Alaska to see them. But they go way deep down in the water, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it makes us aware of the fact that there's so much that we don't know about the ocean now. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I know I've read before that only 10% of the ocean has been explored. So there's still so much speculation on what could be out there, and there's a lot more to learn about the creatures that we do know about, because even the ones we study, that doesn't definitively say that this is how it is.
True. That's why a lot of people say we have to have more space exploration, but other people say we need to have more ocean exploration because there's so many things in the ocean that go on that affect our life every day too, even more than the space part.
That's true, and maybe you never know what resources you could find whenever you keep exploring.
There's so many things. There's probably some creatures we haven't even seen that are way down at the bottom.
I don't want to know about that.
I think there probably are.
Yeah. But actually, once you've been in the ocean and you've been there very much, you don't get so much afraid of them. You're just curious and interested about them. You find that they are curious about us, too.
That's true.
So it's kind of a new field in that they're mysterious, because we don't know much about them. Anything that we don't know much about is like a mystery to us. It's mysterious.
Mm-hmm. And remember, these seismometers were put down in the ocean about 10 years ago. And like we read yesterday, this Wilcock thought it was a big pain to hear these whales. But now he also is curious, I think, and he has other people that are also working on studying these whales and not just the geologic data that they were at first interested in only.
Right. I think one of the interesting things that they learned that we talked about was that they migrate north instead of south. Most migrations go south. And so that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Right, yeah. They usually go south to breed, have their babies. So why are these whales going north? It's one of many questions that they have about these fin whales.
And so all these people that are doing research are trying to get all the information they can. And we have one more day when we're going to talk about the patterns of this and some things that are happening to these beautiful big creatures that could be bad things, too. So when we come back tomorrow, we're going to discuss this a little bit more. And it's a different kind of article, but there's some good words, good vocabulary, and it certainly takes us to another part of the world, takes us to the ocean. So join us tomorrow as we dig deep again to the mysterious creatures. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.